Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gravy boat. Yes.
Boat.
We did it.
We
know
what?
Sometimes we both choose. We both choose to make do a word at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's you know, our cycles align.
Yeah. I guess that can just happen sometimes.
It's true.
But it. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I am Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And what a joy it is to be here with you today discussing sketch ideas and coming up with them.
I mean, I wonder, do you think God's ever come up with a sketch idea? I know we talk about God a lot on this.
I mean, I guess if he's us, then he comes up through. We are God coming up with sketch ideas.
I'm just wondering if there's any difference between, like, for God, if there's any difference between imagining something and it becoming a reality, you know, because, you know, there might be some sense in which, you know, we are all just a manifestation of the mind of God. And if that's the case, can he have a thought that doesn't in some way exist? You know, can he have an idea that is just an idea, or does it necessarily, by virtue of his nature as an omnipotent being, become a truth in as much as anything is a truth? You know, so if he were to try and come up with a sketch idea about a man who has tongues all over his back, you know, a classic sketch idea like that, would he be able to discuss it with his God friends without a tongue back man popping into existence?
Yeah. Do you picture that person sliding down a big slide?
I do. On their back.
I mean, it could be on their back. Could be their main mode of transportation.
Yeah.
Like a fast snail.
You know what I'm disappointed by?
That snails can't slide downhill really fast.
They
should be able to with their ooze.
But I think maybe one of the features of that, we think of the ooze as being slippery, but I think it's also very sticky. I picked up a slug the other day to get it out of the house, because we have somehow in our bathroom just fucking enormous slugs just get in there all the time. Just huge. They're like, you know, like,
where do they
like
come from?
6-8 centimeters long, these slugs. I don't know.
Sounds like hell.
Yeah. Well, so far I haven't trodden on one in the middle of the night, but I live in fear.
I've stopped saying this off pop, but come back to the city.
Yeah, Andy, we've sorted out the slugs.
This failed experiment of living in a rural area. Just give up.
Urbanization was in part the quest of humanity to get away from slugs. Disgusting shit you tread on in the night.
I found one slug in my bathroom once, and that was enough. I moved out of that house.
But I picked up this slug, right, and then it got some of its ooze on my hands, and then I tried to wash it off, and I couldn't wash it off. Like it was somehow super slippery, but super sticky. Like it stuck to my hand, but then like, when I tried to wash, it was like the water like couldn't penetrate it. The soap didn't do anything. My hands were super slippery rubbing them against each other because of the slime, but it remained stuck to my hand. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you make something that has both those.
Salt water doesn't dissolve soap, so it could be a thing like that.
Mm.
Maybe it's a salinated thing. Oh, but then if you put salt on a slug,
they die. They hate it.
They shrivel up.
Mm.
So maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a new thing. Maybe there's a new compound in there.
Maybe there's a new condiment like there. You know, something else that we can put on.
I know, but imagine a condiment. Oh, it could be a condiment that you could put on your tongue and taste it. It'd be a long-lasting taste because you wouldn't be able to wash it away with water. Because you know that's the problem with most foods is that you taste it.
Mm.
And then the taste dissipates. And if it's something really nice, you actually want it to last.
Now, we did talk recently on an episode of the podcast about having some sort of slow-release flavor capsule in your mouth so that you're always tasting your favorite flavor, Alistair. I'm sorry to put that out there. But, I mean, we have so many thoughts. We could have hit upon a way to do this, you know, in a practical sense, which is that if we can use the slug technology and coat the tongue in whatever that fucking slime is, we can then just get that flavored slime. You know, it'll stay there on the tongue, and you could have that. You know, no matter what you're eating, this is the great thing about it, because your tongue would be totally insulated from. Yeah. This is really good, actually, Alistair. I think this is a sketch idea. Now that I'm saying it, really feels like one. When you were saying it, I was like, this doesn't sound like anything. But now that the words are coming out of my mouth, I don't know what it is, but they're really starting to hang together. But, you know, it's a coating so that you can go, you know how there's like some countries where their cuisine does, you don't enjoy it, right? But you can get this layer of a sort of a tongue protective layer of cuisine. That it's sort of a flavored condom for your tongue, but the flavor's on the inside, and you pull it over your tongue, and then you can go out to dinner with your beloved, to her favorite restaurant, and while she's eating the cuisine of Guatemala, you are tasting.
Oh, so you don't like Guatemalan
cuisine of Paraguay?
Food?
Oh no, I'm famously
maybe a fusion
anti-Guat
of Paraguay and Panama.
Yes. Panna guy.
You could do half your tongue. I know you're a guy who loves to buy a two-half pizza.
Yeah. Right?
Which is definitely a category of guy. And you could get half Guatemalan, half... you don't want Guatemalan.
Mm.
Half Panaman.
Mm.
How would you spell Panaman? Do you think Panama?
Panamanian. Put another, I think it's Panamanian.
Nah.
Nah.
It's Panaman. Panaman. So then it would be... P-A-N-A-M-A, and then another A, and then N.
Mm, sure. Great.
Then it's all P-A's, M's, and N's. That's it.
You've heard the that classic joke that is like, you know, such and such is so selfish, he buys ribbed condoms for her pleasure, and then he turns them inside out. Well, how about such and such is so selfish that he buys flavored condoms... And then he turns them inside out and puts them on his tongue.
He chews them until the flavor's gone. And then they're just plain condoms.
Just plain. Just,
original flavor.
It's there's no way, whatever those flavors are, there's no way that they're not going to be natural flavors. They're going to be those artificial flavors. And they're going, and you know, they're not good. You know, that artificial cherry flavor, one of the worst things in the world. That artificial banana, can't stand it.
I don't love artificial banana, but I love artificial grape more than I like grape flavor. Grapes, the flavor of grapes.
I don't mind artificial grape. I agree.
Cherry.
But artificial cherry's awful. There's a world of difference between those two things. Artificial cherry is like... It really, the chemical taste is so at the front there. It just, they've gone so heavy on it. It's super medicine-y. Yeah, it's real unpleasant. Medicine is a flavor, by the way. I don't know what it is, but I think medicine is a flavor. It could be an entire flavor group, that medicine flavor that you get sometimes. I don't know, you know, because we got the umami, we got the salt, the savory,
I don't know what umami is.
I don't know what it is either, Alistair, but people who talk about flavor talk about umami.
I know, but they've only started talking about it in the last 10 years.
Yeah. You reckon it's a...
And so, yeah.
A myth?
I heard somebody refer to umami as being like, oh, well, we all try to get umami by like cooking stews for a really long time and things like that. I go, oh, it's one of the flavors in stew.
that's your only reference point.
Well, and then in Jiro Dreams of Sushi, some guy goes, you know, it's like when you drink a beer and then it makes you go, ah, like that.
Yeah.
So that's my 2 points of reference.
It's way too abstract, isn't it? You can't just they're like trying to paint a picture with negative space. It's, come on guys, we need a cogent reference point for this. Okay.
I've heard people talk about it like
it's a kind of a salty sweet, and then I'm like, well then that's just mixing two other things together. Okay? And that's not a new thing. It's just a blend. Anyway,
yeah.
Umami sure truthers, that's what we are. But Alistair, have you written anything down so far today?
Well, just the slug slime condom to protect your tongue from flavors to trap other flavors in.
Yeah, yeah, I guess
that's... I think that if you were using this slug slime, this thing, firstly, you could cover your body in it. Let's say you're a person who's like, I think the showering is actually bad for you because it gets rid of your natural bacteria.
Mm.
Right? So you're kind of an anti-cleaner, anti-clean.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? You could use that slime, which is a shield from soap, cover your whole body on it, in it. Right?
Yes.
Gives you a nice sheen.
Yep. Yep. Makes you slippery, harder to grab. That's good. That's, you know, that's a form of...
You could...
superpower almost, you know, being
you
real
can travel
slippery.
On your back, you know, imagine that, being able to just like, do you think you could have something that's slippery enough that you could go down a road on your back with bare skin, but then just that slime between you and it?
I mean, that'd have to be
it would protect you.
That'd have to be a significant, that'd have to be a serious layer, but I can see it working. I'm wondering why at the Summer Olympics, because at the Winter Olympics we've got the luge and the skeleton. Can't remember which one's which, but I don't know why we don't have the slip and slide equivalent.
At the Summer Olympics.
At the Summer Olympics, just going down on your tum, down a big sheet of plastic, tarpaulin or something like that. And, you know, you could have two different versions, one where you're allowed to grease yourself up with... washing up detergent, but also I reckon there's scope to have one where it's all au naturel and you're only allowed to use your natural body secretions to slime it up. So, you know, people who are super sweaty, super super slimy naturally will be able to do that.
I think they should just blend both of the Winter and Summer Olympics together so that...
Nah, the Autumn Olympics.
So that's a great idea too, but that would be sort of like leaf catching and...
robbing through piles of leaves. Yeah, you're right. You know, dressing for the weather, like, that's an entire event.
Yeah, and then using a sponge to catch dew off of moss, you know.
Mm.
How full can you get your sponge?
You know, person classic, with the heaviest sponge. Classic autumn activities.
heaviest sponge wins.
I think umbrella management in a windy environment. You know, I feel like I'm quite good at umbrella management, which means obviously pointing the top of the umbrella into the wind so that it doesn't get scooped and broken. And
basically,
but also
reverse sailing.
Yeah, it is. Yes, yeah, staying in the same place while holding a big wind sock type arrangement. I mean, I'm assuming autumn wind is a thing. It feels windy, but maybe
I don't know if autumn wind is a thing, but maybe. I mean, you see the wind more because of the leaves.
That's what I was about to analyze. Maybe it's a sort of a reporting error or whatever you'd call it. Like it's an issue of visibility.
It's definitely an
error. You can't see the wind. It's what I always say. But I would.
I've definitely written down autumn. Oh, I've written down autumn wind, but I meant autumn Olympics.
I got ya.
I think like the idea I had before, which was that it's a shame that the Winter Olympians don't get to perform also in the Summer Olympics. So it feels like you could replace a lot of the, like, just have the Winter Olympic, the Summer Olympic version of a lot of those winter things. So instead of bobsled or skeleton, you would just have slip and slides and water slides. You know, so bobsled would be on the big tubes.
Yeah.
And slip and slides would just be a person on, you know, by the, just in their swimmers or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of the skiing events would just be water skiing events or those skis that are on wheels that you can, that'd be the cross country ones, those skis with wheels that people use for some reason.
I know this isn't exactly what we're discussing, but I love that guy, that video of that guy who's just got like wheels all over his body. You know this guy? He's got them on like his elbows really and his knees and shit, and he just goes
down. He's just going down a really big hill,
but with cars on it. Right? He's on that road, and there's just cars coming up and going down. And he has, I assume, no way to stop. Right?
I think if you want to stop, you pick a tree and you wrap yourself around it.
I mean, you pick a nice soft wood, you know, like a pine or something. Not one of these hardwoods. You're not aiming for a blackwood. Something with a good millimeter or two of give, and that's your life zone right there.
You know, people don't realize when you cover yourself in wheels that actually there's more to it than that. You actually got to know quite a bit about trees.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent 6 years as an arborist before I even strapped on a wheel.
Strapped on even one wheel.
One big wheel. Hey, Alistair.
One wheel in the middle of my back.
I know this is an off-pod idea, but I was thinking about this, right? And I was thinking that the even numbers of wheels is cool.
Yeah.
But odd numbers of wheels is uncool, right? Because four wheels, it's a car, that's cool. Three wheels, that's a tricycle. That's not cool. Two wheels, that's a motorbike. That's cool. One wheel, that's a unicycle. That's as uncool as it gets, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then zero wheels, that's a hovercraft. And that's cool again.
And is zero even?
I feels even. It's got a very even energy.
Well, it's a symmetrical number. That it has at least one axis of symmetry. And exactly. So that's as close to even as it can get.
I think so. And then, I was trying to think of a five-wheel thing, an office chair. Is five wheels, so that's also uncool, right? Do you think that could be a law of nature in some way? Have I struck upon something?
Yeah, I agree. I think I'll write it down.
Great.
Odd.
I mean,
wheels.
The interesting thing would be to explore, you know, for a scientific theory to be meaningful. Exactly. For a scientific theory to be meaningful, it has to be able to make predictions. You know, that's the test of a valid theory. So we'd need to look into whether or not, you know, we'd need to build a machine like we're Bitcoin mining. We'd need to find the machine that has the highest possible number of odd or even wheels.
Yeah. I think the trouble with the theory.
Yeah.
Is that once you get to a certain point, it's actually just cool to see something with that many wheels.
You're right. It probably breaks down at high levels of complexity.
Because let's say something has 201 wheels.
Yeah.
And you're like, actually, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it is significant that it gets the odd number gets much less cool as the numbers go down till you get to the one wheeled unicycle as the least cool mode of transport, basically.
Yeah.
So,
and whereas do you think that maybe with even numbers it gets cooler the less numbers it's got?
I think
it does. The lower the number?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Hovercraft, probably the coolest.
Probably the coolest.
Wait. But what about those kind of hoverboards in inverted commas that are those two wheeled things?
Oh, if the wheels are next to each other. Yeah, or a Segway. You're right.
A Segway.
The axis of symmetry, if you rotate it, they're not cool, are they?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're not cool.
Oh. But
it was amazing that period of time where those were in, and then suddenly, like, I saw a guy, like, using one inside 7-Eleven.
Yeah, wow. And what, you thought that was great?
Well, I was like, it's amazing the confidence that suddenly it's gone from these things don't exist to this is how I move around, even indoors. I come off the street, I keep riding.
Yeah. And they're illegal, aren't they? I think they
became illegal.
Right.
Because
you'd think that being illegal like that would give them a kind of a frisson of coolness, make them cool again. But they're like, they're so uncool, they're resistant to even that.
I mean, I did like how some people's houses were burning down when they were charging them.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
That is cool.
But that's kind of independent of their functionality as a form of transport.
Yeah, they don't really need to work for that to happen.
Yeah,
if anything, it's actually a function of preventing them from
them not working down, because then you're working less.
Yeah, because you're usually, if the longer it's out of the house, the less likely it is to actually burn it down.
Burn that house down. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if that's anything.
Do you have house insurance?
I think so. Yeah, I think Carly sorted it out. I should probably check.
So like if your house burnt down, you'd get money?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Why'd you ask? What have you heard?
Just want to.
Any rumors going on about bits of my house that are on fire? What's the excess?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have excess like when your house burns down?
If you have that's what I wonder. It's like, you know, with a car you do.
Yeah.
And so I wonder when your house burns down, do they go, all right, well, we'll pay for your house, but you owe us $25,000 or whatever.
I mean, it still feels like it might be worth it in the scheme of things. But what if you didn't have that $25,000? You'd be fucked. What about third-party house insurance?
I guess
burns my house down.
Or your house gets blown off of the thing and runs into somebody else's house.
Exactly.
Or just, I guess you would just have compulsory third-party house insurance, which is for when your house hits a person or a person walks into your house, maybe. I don't know if that...
Yeah, I mean, I wonder...
like via the front.
If my house did catch fire... Presumably because of something stupid I've been doing. Like, that feels likely that's why it would happen. And then that fire did spread to the neighbor's house and burned their house down. Could I in some way be held liable for that shit? Right? Because sounds like it might be my fault. Right? You know, I was soldering, you know, in a...
Why, have you heard any rumors that you're doing some dumb shit?
I can confirm the rumors. That's me.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dumb shit doing daddy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry about that. That was a bit of a off the track thing, but...
Alistair, it's okay.
What do you think would be the best thing to have insurance in?
Like, best thing to insure, you mean? Like, it best thing in my life to insure?
Yeah, for example, there was a thing years ago where people were saying that Jennifer Lopez or something like that had insured her butt.
Yeah, I heard the same thing about Kylie Minogue. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there any value in me as just a common man insuring my butt?
Mm. I wonder if Jennifer Lopez, say she writes her butt off, right? Her butt. The insurance company comes along, takes a look at her butt, and says this is a write off. Okay,
but she would have to call them up and say I had a butt accident.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And the inspectors come around. Okay, and then they take her butt to the junkyard, to the junk in your trunk yard. Okay, and she gets a new butt. She gets what do they call that thing where you get a new version, right? You get the equivalent. Anyway, somehow you get the equivalent market value of, you know, as new butt.
So she gets like a 20-year-old's,
or maybe like a baby's butt.
Baby's butt, yeah.
and then I go to the junkyard. I'm looking for parts for my Toyota Corolla. Okay, and I see there on the heap, I see J-Lo's butt. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, you could get that. You could take that to the panel beaters, and you could get them to fix her butt. Now this is sounding a bit gross. I've got her butt for some reason. Right.
Well, they probably don't. They probably don't tell you whose butt it is, but you do have Jennifer Lopez's butt at this point.
I just don't know what I do with it. I guess I drive it around.
Yeah. I mean, it still makes so much more sense that the outside of our cars should be soft and not hard things.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like, why don't we have rubber butts outside of our cars so that when we run into each other, it's just a soft little... Do you think it's because they think that... I mean, I doubt that this is why, but do you think it's because that people would think it would encourage them to bump into each other?
Yeah, bumping butts.
Yeah.
You know, but...
To butt.
Oh, mate, the traffic was terrible today. It was butt to butt out there.
It was absolutely butt to butt. Look, I'm just going to put butts.
It implies to me the doors of the car are big butts, and you've got to sort of separate the cheeks and squeeze in there to get into the car through the cheeks of the butt. Then you let them go, and they go. Slap back together again. There's not a butthole. They're just individual cheeks. So there's no anuses on the car, but it is.
Yeah, but it's a relative. It's a good enough seal that it keeps water out and burglars. I think if your door was a butt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of we've got a door. It's a butt, right? And you gotta slide between the two butt cheeks to get into your seat, right? But it is a decent seal that it keeps water out. But also, when you lock the car, you press the thing, it just clenches the butt.
Yeah, great.
Right? It clenches the butt, and then no robbers can get it.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I don't know how we're dealing with windows and stuff like that. The body doesn't really have many transparent components, and certainly the butt doesn't have any see-through maybe there might be some aquatic creatures that have a transparent butt.
Yeah, I think if you could use squid technology, I think you could. I think you can see everything inside a squid's head. So if it was sort of squid skin butt, which also makes it less weird and it's probably more futuristic looking.
I don't know if that makes it less weird. I don't know if making the butt out of squid skin is automatically makes it less weird.
No one's really going to see it as a butt. It's just going to be like a flap closed door, and it's water resistant. We already know that because it's a squid, and probably salt resistant, which is actually better because in Canada, when you've got salt on the roads, bloody rust your car.
Yeah. Do they ever put any pepper, any umami on the roads?
Oh, you mean sweet salt? Stew kind of flavor?
Yeah.
They do that.
Great. That's good to know.
If you had a place to go, you can take me there, but I just
really
to go
didn't
back to this idea.
Really didn't, Al. You're helping me out.
Because what I didn't get to explore yet is this idea that what if as a common person, is there any value in you insuring your butt? Like, you could see this being an article on a sort of a money first kind of website, like a family finance type thing. What are the benefits of you insuring your own butt? Like you say, oh, you may have heard that Jennifer Lopez insured her butt for $20 million.
Yeah.
Well, but should you take a dip into the butt insuring world and see? And so then it talks about the scenarios in which, you know, what if your butt burns down, or, you know, or what if you burn your butt? What if you sit on a stove and then you can't sit down? Well, a lot of our work is actually, you could get an insurance payout. If you sit on a stove, you can often get an insurance payout that buys you a standing desk, for example.
Okay. So they don't repair your butt, but they are going to try and modify your lifestyle.
Luckily, the butt is self-repairing to a point.
Mm.
Depends on how long you were sitting on the stove. Maybe you had just had butt cheek surgery and you couldn't feel anything.
Geez, I take a lot of care of my butt, don't I? I'm getting butt cheek surgery. I mean, I take a lot of care, and then I don't take a lot of care. I'm taking butt cheek surgery. I am getting butt insurance, but then I am also sitting on stoves. So,
well, you don't. I mean,
all right.
Well, you have that stove that has a very flat surface, right?
Yeah, I do. I got that induction. Yeah,
induction, right? So it's not like, you know, it's not like sitting on the stove at my house, which is gas. And so there's all these metal, sort of rough metal prongs that would be, you know, I would need butt surgery just for sitting on a cold version of that.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of prongs and things like that. There's a lot of metal. I'd be grazing. There'd be prodding. There would be all sorts of things going on.
Now,
but for you could sit on your stove, right? Assuming that you're wearing your sort of induction underpants.
That's what I was going to say. Underpants. Stainless steel.
Stainless steel underpants. But you're a guy who takes care of his butt, so you're
probably
going to be wearing armor.
is what it was.
Either that or chainmail.
I thought nothing's going to touch my butt. I thought my butt is immune at this point. You know, I put my butt up on a pedestal and I assumed that it was like the unsinkable Titanic. I basically thought I had the untouchable butt. And that's what led to this hubris of me sitting on induction cook stoves with impunity.
With chainmail underwear.
Yeah. So.
And so then, okay, so let's say you've absolutely wrecked your butt, right? And so now you go to your insurance company and you say, what are my options? And say they say, well, look, it is repairable, but you're not going to be able to stand up for a while. Or sit down. So now you're looking at probably a payout for hours of work lost, unless you can work laying down, sort of with your arms, your hands under your chin, and your elbows on your bed, like a teenager on a phone call to her boyfriend, twirling a phone cord and chewing gum.
Well, it turns out that that's actually the healthiest way to – the healthiest desk is the teenage girl on the bed desk.
Sort of curving
recent
your
studies,
spine backwards like that?
Yeah, yeah. Recent studies
putting
have shown
all that pressure
that
on your elbows.
Standing desks are even less healthy than we thought, and that's the only way to do the right thing for your spine, for your physiology.
I guess you could do a sort of a cutesy phone line, like paid phone line where people call up and you talk to them about like their favorite babysitter club books.
Well, what about it's just a call center, right? It's just a regular call center where we do, you know, IT support for Telstra broadband, right?
Yeah.
Because it turns out that that's the healthiest way to be on the phone, the call center itself is just full of beds with heart-shaped frilly pillows on them. And all our employees, male or female, of any age, lie on the beds propped up on their elbows, twirling their hair between their fingers and chatting on a landline phone where the cord comes all the way from the kitchen.
Yeah,
you know, it just turns out that we get much better quality. Yeah, gum in their mouth. We get much better quality of feedback from the clients. They like it. They find it much more casual and much more friendly.
Of course, you have to get to work, so you've had to have a bike designed that is a laying down bike, but where you're laying on your front and you're pedaling with your arms.
Yeah.
Do you think you could... I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that you'd be building at home when you burnt down your house.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, I have more things to say about butt insurance. And one of the things I want to say is, how is this different to regular health insurance, right? Because in a way, isn't private health insurance sort of insuring your body to be like, if something goes wrong, we'll repair your body, we'll get you the, you know, the best equivalent body that we can. And if you can insure it, like, I assume then, you know, you if you want to do a special insurance of your butt, it's like car insurance, but when you've got a very rare one-off classic vehicle that's going to be difficult to replace. We're not going to be able to get you the same butt on the open market. There aren't any nearly as good as this. And then maybe maybe you could insure other, maybe there's a sort of a version of health insurance where you just insure your body bit by bit rather than insuring the whole thing. You, instead of that full comprehensive health insurance, you just insure the bits that you value the most.
Yeah. And I guess that probably does internal butt stuff as well. It probably protects you against, you know, like insures you against kind of colon cancer. And,
I don't know. I don't know if Jennifer Lopez IBS. Also insured her colon.
I mean, but if she got like irritable bowel syndrome, that would maybe be bad for her butt. I'm not sure.
It would certainly be bad for her butt's earning capacity, I think, right? Which is presumably her butt's what earning capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost income.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a really interesting idea. The thing is that health insurance, to me, I mean, and I'm looking at it from the outside here as a person who has never had it, and in a country where we do have very good public health insurance, where you don't seem to have to pay almost anything, almost ever.
Yeah.
Private health insurance seems to be a thing where you pay all the time, even when you're not using it. And then when you do use it, you pay extra.
Yeah, and they try not to give it to you, right? Like if something goes wrong, they look for ways to not have to pay you. And it seems like a scam. Doesn't seem good. You know, it's like their problem is that they're competing with the public service, which is where you get everything for free, and they're trying to find a point of difference, right? And it's hard to find a point of difference. And maybe the one that they've found is, well, what about you get everything's more expensive all the time? I mean, that's different. Yeah. That's different. You can't argue that that's different.
But it's more expensive in a room alone. And you go, a room alone.
I guess
If I am going to be... Yeah, but... At the same time, it's like, well, I'm not going to be spending that much time in hospital, and hopefully, if I am going to be there, it'd be nice to have some kind of life experience where it's not just me alone with my thoughts. So being in a room with somebody else that can either provide comfort through conversation or make you feel better because their life is worse.
Oh, so much worse. Yeah.
Or make you feel better because they see that your life is worse, and then you get to feel that thing where it's like, oh, somebody feels sorry for me. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, maybe if you have good enough private health insurance, you can choose who goes in the room with you. You know, you can tour the wards, the public wards on your rhinestone hospital bed, and and you can choose them sort of like you would choose an orphan. In an old school orphanage.
Yeah,
and you find the sickest person.
They line them up like sex workers in a brothel.
Sure, sure.
And you can ask them a few questions, or you can just pick the one that you like the most, you know? Oh, this old lady looks pretty chatty.
Not too chatty, though. I think that's the thing. You want somebody who's going to... gonna give you what you need as a
You want to be able to look at your phone for about 5 hours without being disturbed, but then occasionally go, "Did you see this meme?"
but also, you know, when they know when to sort of give you a groan or something to just remind you that some people have it worse off than you.
Yeah.
That's a sketch of some kind.
Yeah. Benefits.
We've had the sketch in the past about where to make your lottery win bigger. Say you win $5 million, you actually get the winnings given to you by somebody who's recently lost a lot of money as well, to make it feel better, even greater glory, and. This feels the same in a way, or similar. I don't want to say the same because then you wouldn't be able to write it down.
I mean, you know, it's got to be one of the only benefits that there could be to being in a private hospital over the other thing. Now, Andy, I'm worried that... No, I know that this three words thing... We're up to the three words bit. And I'm worried that I mentioned last time, I think I've lost full control of the three word list.
Yeah.
And I think every single week I'm doing one that has been done before. And I think that this could be the same scenario again. But let's just try. Andy, today's listener is Ian Whitehead.
Hello, Ian Whitehead. Hello.
Hello, Ian Whitehead.
Thank you.
Hello there. Let's try and guess where Ian Whitehead would be from.
He's definitely from England. There's no question. That's one of the most English names I've ever heard in my life. He's from Bath.
Yeah.
In Shropshire. I don't know if Bath is in Shropshire. I don't really know what Shropshire is, but they're both fun places to say.
Yeah,
Shropshire.
That is fun. Shropshire. It's hard. That's the one thing with the UK, is that it's hard for them because it's hard that they'll claim superiority over the English language, right? It's like, well, of course we know how to speak, like the right way to say things, because we're
English.
From England, the birthplace of English, right? But then the fucked up ways they say things and the variety of ways in which they fuck up the way that they say things, you just go, Just say something. Just say it in a normal way, like a North American.
That's the confidence that you get from having the home ground advantage, I think, though, right?
They I know, but
feel
there can't
they can be
there
experimental.
Can't be both, there can't be both. This is the correct way of saying things, and here's 100 different ways that you could say things.
I think, yeah, it's just by definition, the correct way of saying things is the way that they say them. So they can say fucking anything. And
yeah, you know, it makes you think that maybe the correct way of saying things, there isn't such a thing. And that's actually probably my true belief. But also, North America, they had a little bit of distance. You know, they were able to look at it from, you know, look at the English language from outside of England and maybe give it a more objective point of view. And they chose a kind of a more neutral accent.
Yeah.
You know, something less extreme, something where the vowels and the consonants
something
were pronounced
normal,
kind of,
something nice
yeah,
and
something
normal. It's weird that before
S-H-I-R-E, Shire, you know, they go, oh yeah, that kind of follows the rules of like, oh, there's a single consonant in the middle there, you give it the hard I, you end with the E, you give it a little bit of elongation at the end because of the E. Shire. Like,
do you think
that, you know,
when they first landed in America, those whoever they were, the pilgrims, they took a big sigh of relief and they said, finally we can talk normally.
Yeah, and they go, blah, oh, they just shook it off. They just, I think, yeah, it feels like there's been oppression. There's oppression on the people to force them to talk like that.
Mm, it's cruel.
Anyway, I'm sorry, everybody from the UK, but also you're welcome. let's go through Ian Whitehead's words, who hopefully doesn't come from England for his sake.
Yeah. He sounds like a philosopher, like an eminent philosopher. I would read a book of philosophical musings by Ian Whitehead.
Absolutely. On Ian Whitehead on
knowing
shrillness.
Okay.
On shrillness, and you'd write one of those mini books all about it, and you go, well, actually, shrillness originated. The idea of shrillness originated in the 1500s during the melting period of England's melting period, where everything all solids turned to liquid.
That's a tough time to get through.
And there was the screaming at this occurrence. Anyway, so do you want to try and guess what Ian's three words are? So far, you don't have any letters correct.
Parasaur?
No, awkwardly.
Awkwardly. Okay. Reintegrate?
No, sexy.
Awkwardly sexy. Plant.
No, stress.
Awkwardly sexy stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So it's like stress that is given off like a good kind of a horny vibe. Right? But in that way, like somebody who's kind of a geek and they don't know it. They don't know that their stress is sexy.
Well, I don't think many people know that their stress is sexy, right?
Which I think makes it more appealing, you know? Because it's like they're not carrying that stress around with that confidence of like, yeah, you know it.
that my stress is sexy.
As you know, there's nothing attractive about confidence.
That's true. That's what everybody agrees.
Andy, can I come back in just a moment and you keep going?
Yeah, sure, Alistair. I've obviously got this under control. So when I hear awkwardly sexy stress, it does make me think of like some sort of group of some kind of stress fetishists who, you know, rather than doing some sort of BDSM thing where it's about, you know, physical pain and or you know, humiliation or whatever that is, it's just to do with being under the pump, right? Overworked and under the pump. And I guess instead of a BDSM dungeon, you'd have some sort of BDSM corner office where you're on the desk. Or, you know, you're there, you're at your desk, and people keep bringing in new manila folders and slapping them down on the desk. And every time another one slaps down on the desk like that, you get a little jolt, a little thrill of just that extra workload that that you know it's going to take you. You're not going to be able to get home for ages. And you're probably going to have to work the weekend as well. And the more those slaps, the more it piles up, the hornier you become. And yeah, I think
returned.
Alistair, so I've worked out the sketch, right? It's a sort of a version of BDSM, but it's for people who get off on being stressed and overworked rather than other forms of pain or humiliation. And instead of a sex dungeon, they have a sex corner office, and they sit at their desk, and people come in and slap down, you know, more and more big manila folders full of reports that you've got to complete and that sort of thing. And they, you know, you're getting lots of angry phone calls from people, you know, whose deadlines you've missed and that kind of stuff. And more the stress builds up, the hornier you become. I mean, the problem is that you've got so much work done to do, you're not going to be able to get home to your beloved to make good on this situation.
Sure.
But maybe it's one of those ones where it's...
It's like a masturbating one.
Maybe it is, yeah.
You just do it alone in your work, which would be even more stressful in your office, cubicle.
You're right, especially when you've got all this work to do. I can't believe...
That would really build to a crescendo, wouldn't it?
Mm,
all that stress, just getting hornier the more you masturbate.
Yeah.
<That'd be> crazy.
Anyway, is that it? Is that anything?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But there's also IBSM.
Oh, Jesus. This is somebody who gets
irritable
off on
bowel
really...
syndrome, masochist.
Yeah, and they really need to go to the loo. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, what's the masochist part? Is that when you're really mean? Or mean to yourself, or mean to...
I think because one of the problems for people with IBS is that terror of not knowing when you'd need to go, and like not wanting to be in a situation where you might have to go in a big hurry. And surely one of the worst cases for that would be when you're in one of the zipped into one of those rubber gimp suits. I mean, that would be...
Yeah.
You're chained to the floor in a rubber gimp suit. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, of course. But then, is the masochist part, is that the being mean bit?
No, that's the sadist. I wonder whether bit. The masochist is wanting people to be mean to you.
But that's cool, because then you'd be like, yes, do it to me, irritable bowel. Like that. And then you'd shit yourself and you'd be like, I deserve that. Yes. And then you'd walk around with just shitty pants, just going, yes, humiliate me.
I mean, in a way, I feel good for this person. Because they...
Yeah, well...
I think it's actually a great way to... Because, you know, maybe if you can't cure your IBS, maybe you can develop a fetish for it. You know, love yourself. It's a great way to put a new spin, a positive spin on, you know, something bad.
Shit yourself, love yourself.
In great,
both shit and love yourself.
In great, you know, is it a crisis or is it an opportunity? You know, that's right. You just got to look at it in a different way.
And just the more public the situation, the better.
Oh my God!
And then
there are definitely people who would have this particular fetish, right?
You think so?
Shitting themselves in public. Yeah,
I'm definitely. I'm sure I've sat in trams or train seats that they've sat in.
Oh God.
I think also that scenario where you would get both the relief of getting done to you what your kink, demands, and also the relief of finally getting that terrible business done.
It's a double whammy. Yeah. I mean, this has been a pretty grubby episode of the podcast, I think.
Has it?
Has I think it? In some ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's go through it. Well, and I don't think it's actually been that grubby. I think you're just... I know you think butts are grubby.
Yeah.
But look, we got slug slime to condom your tongue to protect from flavors and trap other flavors in.
Mm.
That's, of course, when you're going to that Guatemalan restaurant that your beloved loves and you are instead trapping some Panaman and what's another... Rio de Janeiro, cuisine into your tongue so that you can taste that the whole time and not taste any of the Guatemalan flavors.
Exactly.
Then you got, you know how like Bolivia, it's like it's all about potatoes. People there just eating potatoes nonstop. Do you think there's a country like that where, you know, there's like, they're like, oh yeah, we got 500, you know, varieties of potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Do you think there's a country that's like that, but with capsicum or like red peppers or green peppers or bell peppers, whatever they call them in other countries?
It feels very likely. I think one of the downsides of that is that those ones don't have the same deep carbohydrate intensity that, you know, that can form. Like, there's nowhere where capsicum is a staple, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess because they're not like, it's not something you could sort of store underground for long periods of time or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe if they, maybe what they jerky the capsicum or something like that.
I mean, that feels actually not too distant from being possible.
You know,
raspberries. Is there a culture somewhere on Earth where raspberries were their dominant crop, and you know they're
such a fragile food.
Sitting down to a big plate of raspberries.
Yeah, raspberry soup is just, yeah, it's raspberry soup's just water and raspberries. And
this jam, it's a big bowl of jam.
You think they've added like a lot of sugar, or do you think they've added sugar and salt to make that?
I think it's a fair amount of, yeah, you're right, you could get that raspberry umami.
Raspberry umami. Then we got the summer Olympics that are integrating the Winter Olympics events. And
then
just so that. And they probably do the same thing for the Winter Olympics in the summer. Summer Olympics in the Winter Olympics. So
I would like to see people running on ice.
Yeah, it's the ice running thing. You know, they probably got crampons on. Nah. Crampons on?
Nah. No?
Okay. And then, you know, they got the pole one with the big pole. And then you go up and instead you go over on, you know, you're jumping over an iceberg. It's so dumb. but then... you knocked the top of the iceberg off. No, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, isn't it interesting that thing, that bar that you knock off in the high jump or in the pole vaulting, it's very similar to that bar that you knock off on a cricket thing.
Yeah, you're right. Mm. Could we invent a new form of cricket where the
goal is to throw it above?
Take the place of the ball. So you don't throw the ball. Your objective as the bowler is to actually run down the pitch and jump over the stubs without knocking off the bail. But the person is still standing there with the bat trying to hit you.
You're going to jump cricket, over them.
It's cricket with no ball.
And so it's the guy who would normally be bowling the ball is just running at
running.
The batsman.
Yeah.
tries to not get hit by the batsman.
Tries to not get killed.
And then while the person, the bowler, who's now just the runner and jumper, and has to then try and jump over the high.
Yeah. And then after they've jumped over the thing, they then have to try and run to the boundary to score a four or whatever without getting caught by any of the fielders.
Without getting, or getting hit by any bats. I think maybe everybody else has a bat. And so if you get over the bar, then that's one run, right?
Okay. Yeah.
If you make it to the boundary without getting hit at all by any bats, not even nipped.
Yeah.
Then that's a four. And if you can manage to climb into the audience without even getting hit, you don't. That's four or six or whatever it is.
I think the bowler probably also needs a bat so that they can fend off some of these bats that people are swinging at them, because it's too fucked otherwise.
Yeah, because especially that bit where you're laying. You're laying on the mat after you've jumped on. The wicket keeper, who has a bat, is going to just be waiting to just smash you. But you got to be ready to roll. You got to be ready to roll off that mat real fast.
Well, I don't know if there's a mat, because you could probably just jump over it without landing in that way. It's not a really high...
as the match goes on, it keeps getting higher.
Getting higher, sure, yeah.
I think that they can hit you, but it's a big mat, and so you got to be strategic.
This feels like what the Big Bash League should really be.
Yes.
More bashing.
Yeah. So that's cricket minus ball plus high jump.
That's right.
Then we got the Autumn Olympics, which is just all autumn events. That's a different thing altogether. Then we got odd numbers of wheels are uncool, possibly. It's maybe a mathematician trying to prove this. Then we've got the insured butt, but for civilians. Civilian insured butt, you know?
I'm a civilian, me. Not like Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez. I think that's a different category of people. What's your celebrity, high-end celebrity? Then we got butts on cars. That's, of course, a better design for cars, the soft exterior. Mm-hmm. We got the private health hospital benefits, where you get to choose who's in your room with you, and they're lined up like either orphans or in a brothel, you know, sex workers in a brothel, and you get to pick who you want.
Yep.
And then you got the BDSM for stress.
Yep.
And then you got IBSM, which is shit yourself, love yourself.
There you go. Something to be proud of there. And did you write down Big Bash League cricket?
Yeah, there's cricket minus ball plus here. I'll write in brackets Big Bash League.
Yeah, great. Great, great. It's really, really great. It's really, 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 really great. It's great. It's great. It's great. It's really, really great. It's really, 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 really great. That's my best work. And thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. I appreciate it. I feel like Alistair does too.
Well, I've realized today that I didn't appreciate it at all.
Oh.
Nah, I do. I do. I appreciate it.
And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at Alistair TB. We're at 2 in Tank. You can support us on Patreon. Thank you to everybody who already does that. God, that's special.
It's really special.
Check out the Discord. There's a link to the Discord in the show notes.
Yeah, check that out. It's a happening place. People are promoting their own stuff. Some people are doing live streams. Yeah. And I've been thinking about doing. You know, for a long time I've been saying I'm gonna be a guy who live streams.
Yep.
I think I figured out the format now. It's gonna be just my work. It's gonna be my workshop. It's where I'm just gonna go. That's where I'll do all my writing.
Fantastic.
And I'll just do it's going to be live writing and live things.
I love it.
And I go, what are we going to write? And I'm going to write a sketch live one day.
Yeah, great. I support that. Imagine writing a sketch live. I don't know what that would be like. And
What's this? It'll say, okay, Michael, two dots,
Alistair.
Colon. Hey, where's my salami? Craig, like that. And then Craig will be like, I told you, it's
propping
still at the
up
shop.
The billiard table.
I haven't picked it up yet. Yeah, you see? And then that's how you start. And then you figure out what it is over time. Pardon me. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And
we love
you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.